Walsh stood in the stern, watching the Lion as it continued to race out over the bow.
How deep, Mr. Ogg?
Our iron went deep and true, Mr. Walsh. How went thine?
Deep and true.
Then I think we shall see him again shortly, as he tries to rid himself of the pesky barbs that hold him to us.
Cyrus Ogg poured more water over the smoldering line. Donphil leaned far out, shading his eyes against the reflection of the sun on the water.
He's diving more shallow.
Shores he's tiring fast. Ready to haul in the line, lad, soon as he broaches again. Outlander, thou must coil it as it comes, to keep all neat and unclogged in the keg there.
Aye.
Quiet and silent. Soundless it is. No sound, no noise. Still as death. Still as snow. Still as sleep. And still as dark.
Still as thou, Yehu, or you can swim back to the ship.
Here he comes. The birds know it.
Haul in! Haul in! Where away, 10 from 10? Tell me that!
Close. The rope's gone slack, but I can't. Isun! It's right!
The world exploded. Brian was hanging onto the side of the boat, and the wheel surfaced so near that its skin grazed his knuckles. It erupted clear into the air, hanging for an unbelievable, impossible moment of frozen time. Then it crashed down, its tail catching the other whaleboat a glancing blow as it dove again. The frail little craft was overturned, spilling men and oars and line into the sea.
Cut thy line and save the boat, Walsh!
Once again, they were off in a flurry of white spray. But this time, Ryan could detect a slowing in the exertions of the great creature. Then their forward motion stopped once more, and Donphil again peered over the bow.
Going back beneath us!
Out oars and spin her on a nailhead! Quick, for our lives!
Ryan grabbed at his oar, fumbling it into position, and obeying the order to backwater, while the men on the other side tugged with all their strength. The tiller went hard over, and the cockle shell darted around like a mayfly. Once they were facing in the right direction, Ogg ordered them to ship oars again and pull in the slack line, so that they would be close into the whale when next it surfaced.
Hit for the men in the water!
The rolling mountain of the beast's hump broke the surface about 50 feet in front of them, jerking them onward. As the first mate had said, the whale was making for the other boat. Walsh and the two other crewmen had clambered back into it and were now bailing it empty, but the other five men were still floundering some distance away. The sun was bright, showing the streams of crimson blood that flowed down the sides of the whale, spouting from the two irons in its flanks. And the Salvation, all sail crowded on, was bearing down on them. Ryan watched as the beast came closer, heading toward Jacob Lusk, one of the fattest members of the crew, building up more speed. Its jaws were open, funneling the ocean between its rows of teeth. And the sailor vanished into the gaping suction of its jaws.
Widowed wife and fatherless children.
As though its spasm of savage revenge had exhausted it, the whale slowed down once more, half turning so that it presented its side to Donphil's harpoon. The Indian had taken out a longer lance, ready for the killing lunge. Once again, sitting still in the gently rocking boat, Ryan glimpsed the whale's little eye, rolling toward him. It was shot with blood, seeming both resigned and fearful. For a fraction of eternity, it locked onto Ryan's own eye.